This is Michael Johnson, and we're here at Sun Microsystems again. And our guests today are Rick Hetherington, who's the chief architect for the Niagara program, and Gary Peterson, who's the director for the Niagara program. So welcome both of you to the podcast. So, Rick, we're going to start with you. Tell me about Niagara and the concept of a server on a chip and how Niagara 2 fills that part.
On the market currently is a chip we call Niagara, and Niagara itself is nearly approaches what we would define as a server on chip. With Niagara 2, then we had the room to actually put the extra components on that I would say now fully qualifies as a server on a chip. A server on a chip being all the processing elements, memory controllers, I/O interfaces directly on one piece of silicon.
Now, why would you have a server on a chip? What's the function of that? What's good about it?
Well, the advantages there are again, getting networking as close to memory as possible and close to the processor as possible. We can now achieve line rate with minimum size packets across our two 10 gigabit Ethernet ports. Same thing is true with PCI Express. On the PCI Express side, we can achieve very good throughput with having it as close to memory as possible, eliminating long latent events. And then memory controllers have traditionally been the best place to put them is directly on the processor to keep, again, memory latency as low as possible.
Now I'm going to address this question to you, Gary. I understand that you are the one who has to actually make this stuff work, right, to design the stuff itself. Tell me a little bit. It must have been kind of a little bit difficult for the design team because I understand that it was in different geographic locations and you had to have different design approaches. Can you talk about how this technical challenge kind of came together?
Sure. We basically had at least five physical locations. So we had Sunnyvale and Newark in California, as well as a couple people down in San Diego, plus a big group down in Austin, Texas, and also a few people out on the East Coast in Burlington, Massachusetts. And beyond that, we even had a few just people that work remote from home. So it was a big, complicated project geographically. All the things that Rick and his team architected into the chip also drive a lot of engineering complexity that we need to solve. So in putting a system on the chip, we're putting parts of the system that traditionally haven't been on the same chip and have different design requirements that drive different solutions in a lot of cases. And we needed to come up with solutions that fit together so that we could come out with a single chip that contained all of this hardware that might require, like you mentioned, different design styles, different emphasis in terms of how you're optimizing the design and from architecture down to the rectangles and physical structures on the chip. And those trade-offs drive complication in the tools and require a lot of creative solutions. So it was a very challenging and exciting project to work on.
How long was the project arc overall?
The full-fledged design effort was about 2 years plus another year or so on the front of that in the definition phase.
Now, coming out at this time, it's kind of interesting to see and to hear about a processor or a chip on a server on a chip process like this in time for the explosion of Web 2.0, Office 2.0, everything 2.0, which is going to be really changing things and driving, and the power of computing and processing is going to be an important part of that. How does Niagara 2 fit into that picture? And Rick, I'll ask this question of you.
Right. Many of those things that you mentioned, Web 2.0 features and functions, and that entire domain is very rich in threads. It's a highly threaded environment. We have 64 threads on Niagara 2, and so it's designed uniquely to service many of those operations in parallel. Additionally, with the combination of onboard networking and the cryptographic functions that we have in each of the cores, now as security becomes more and more important, we're well equipped to deal with fully encrypted communication to and from the Niagara 2 processor.
Now, what kinds of applications would be practical for the Niagara 2?
Well, almost all web-serving functions, app-serving functions, and even database are all appropriate applications for Niagara 2. So persistent media, voice over IP, anything in that domain, search is perfect for this kind of chip. And as I mentioned, app serving functions as well as database. All of those are thread rich environments that work perfectly on this processor.
And another question for you, Gary. People are, I think, a little bit confused by some of these things, by what you do, just by putting all this stuff together. You know, it's a pretty enormous process. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the stats that go inside this? Now, I'm looking at what I presume is a Niagara 2 right there. Now, can you tell me about some of the physical characteristics of the chip?
Sure. One of the best trinkets I ever had was a keychain that had a bare chip in it that I could show my relatives and show my friends what I do at work,
you make keychains.
Yeah, it is really amazing because it's, you know, in literally the size of a postage stamp, we have 500 million transistors. So that in itself is just mind-boggling. And within that, for people that understand kind of how computer architecture breaks down, we've got over 50 million memory bits. And we've got about 1 million register bits. And so all of that is jammed into this chip and all has to work right at the end of the day. So there's a big challenge in getting it to work right. Just in terms of dealing with the size of data set that you need to deal with to deliver the design and have it manufactured, we deliver what's called a graphical data system, GDS format file at the end of the day to the manufacturer that's 10 gigabytes in size, over 10 gigabytes in size, and, you know, using the highest bandwidth tunnels that we have to the manufacturer, it takes multiple hours to ship the database over there. So when they talk about taping out a design, it used to mean to physically carry a tape. Now we ship it electronically, but it's a multiple-hour exercise to get the design across.
So that would be the image file that has to become eventually this chip.
Right. It's you know, at the most fundamental level, it's a big set of rectangles.
Now, I know that in a lot of the interviews that I've been doing lately, we talk about virtualization. And I'm finally beginning to grasp virtualization. It's finally sinking in. You know, this is a layer we talk about, a lot of servers and an overlay over the servers, whether you call it a hypervisor, mm-hmm. virtualization, encapsulation. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the Niagara, how does the Niagara fit into that picture? Because if we've got a server on a chip, and we're talking, usually when people think, they think about blade servers or much larger things here. How does that work with virtualization? How does Niagara 2 fit into that?
Well, as you mentioned, there is a hypervisor that is an abstraction layer that describes the underlying hardware to a guest operating system, and in our case, it's Solaris 10. With virtualization, we can now offer a customer to run multiple independent operating systems simultaneously on one piece of silicon, in fact, up to 8, in fact, up to 32, if you'd like, on the current Niagara generation, and eventually up to 64. This is a very powerful tool, and customers today are again, they're suffering from low utilization of their current products, their current servers, and their design centers. And they're looking to consolidation through virtualization to save on the number of servers and save on power. So there are a few products that are out there currently. So with the introduction of Niagara itself and the hypervisor, we'll be adding a software package called Logical Domains, and LDOMS itself will be able to virtualize the underlying hardware of Niagara and Niagara 2.
So, Gary, here at Sun Microsystems, how many Niagara 2 processors are running, would you say, that you have running around here?
We have nearly 100 systems running in the different labs, and we have over 200 chips that we're working on testing basically the characteristics of the chip itself. So there's a lot of activity going on, and a lot of different groups rallied around, you know, driving this as a product to market and getting everything ready, testing out the initial version of silicon and getting ready to make sure that we're production ready when we want to be.
And what have the results been like as you've been running those tests?
so far it's fantastic.
No, it sounds pretty amazing with what you've got here. I mean, just literally what I've got in my hand, and again, you know, fits in the palm. But it sounds like a lot of engineering, a lot of information, a lot of time, a lot of, you know, condensation of things. You know, upholding the great principles of Myers. You know, of Moore's law here. Well, it's been a fascinating conversation, and I'm looking forward to learning more about the Niagara 2 as it goes further. Again, we've been talking about the Niagara 2 server on a chip processor, and it's from Sun Microsystems. I'm leaning on it right now, so I'll just put that over there before I walk off with it. I've been speaking today with Rick Hetherington, who is the chief architect for the Niagara program, and also Gary Peterson, who is the director of the engineering team for Niagara 2. And it's been great having you both on the podcast, and I'm looking forward to see what else comes out of your minds and out of this great creative work that you're doing. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.